I hope that this is a vision that you have down deep in your soul. I hope this is a conviction that you hold. I hope that this is a goal that you are reaching toward, and not just a piece of dead theology that you sing about. I hope this isn't something that you just hold in some cavity in the attic of your brain. But I hope that this is something that is a reality in your spirit, that you believe that God has a plan, and God's plan will be brought to fruition, that God will not fail in that which He accomplished, that Jesus' prayer will be accomplished for His people, that which the prophets spoke about of old and the apostles wrote about shall come to pass, and the word of God shall not fall to the ground, that God's long patience waiting for the precious fruit of the earth shall not be in vain, that the last feast shall come, that the harvest rain shall come, that the glory of the latter house of God shall be greater than the former house, that there shall be a man-child company come out of the womb of the visible church, and it shall not, God says, shall I bring to birth and not cause to come forth? Shall He bring to the to the breach of the womb, and shall the child not come forth? He said, no. If I bring it to the breach, if I bring it, it shall come forth, saith the Lord. That the valley of dry bones shall not forever be a valley of dry bones, but there shall arise an exceedingly great army off of that floor. The army that died shall revitalize by the Spirit of the Lord. The decimated body and the scattered body shall come together and shall have muscle upon it. It shall have sinew tying it together. God shall clothe it in one skin, and He shall breathe into it the breath of the living God, and it shall go forth to war. And when one day we shall stand on yonder shore and say, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by our testimony of faithfulness unto God. For we have held the word, have not denied His name, have a little strength. Therefore, there is an open door that shall not be shut. The old seventh head of the world government shall fall flat in a death wound. God's people shall triumph. When the devil comes in like a storm, God shall raise up a standard against it. Let the weak say that I am strong. Amen. God's word shall be accomplished. If we believe that God did what He did at the last minute at the Red Sea, if we believe that God did what He did when the Assyrian army came down against Hezekiah, then we ought to be able to believe that our God in the last day shall do what His word says He will do. And I trust that God's people will not close their ears to what the Spirit is saying to the churches, for the Lord uses messengers to His churches. And I trust that God's people will not close their heart and minds because of feelings from without. For greater is He that is within than he that is without. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning, I have a study that I want to bring to you. There's no glory in the study itself. There is no motivation in the study. If you want motivation, come last Friday night or come tonight. But I feel it's an important subject. I feel it's one you should know. It's one of these classic teachings every so often that comes that you can't buy this anyplace else. I don't know where you can go to get this. Now, there may be a lot of number of people who have this understanding, but I don't know where you can just go and get it. And the way you can get it brought this way, I want you to recognize you've got a privilege to receive it. We're not selling seminar tickets. And I have brought this subject before. I would judge that you need it again. Everyone hasn't had it. I'm sure everyone didn't retain all of it. The lesson is toward understanding Israel. Now, I'm going to be bringing this in both morning speaking sessions. Most Christians are confused about Israel. most Christians. There are very few Christians that really have a good, thorough understanding and a balanced picture of Israel. Most churches, most ministers, most Christians are confused about the issue. I'm not really so sure why, because it's not that difficult. But I think the largest reason why is because they have not gotten their information from the Bible, but from a lot of osmosis from other people. They've got a lot of back fence medical advice, so to speak, in this theological realm. Now, the impact of this has been a total wrong eschatology, or prophetic view of Scripture. It has given a wrong view of the man-child. It's given a wrong view of the tribulation. It's given a wrong view of the millennium. It's given a wrong view of the Old Testament prophecies that point to the promise to Israel in the last days. It's caused them to make many wrong statements concerning many scriptures dealing with Israel, and to make many wrong statements concerning Israel today. First of all, I'm going to list 11 common fallacies. Number one. Now, if you believe any of these 11 things, then you don't have the full picture on Israel. Every one of these statements is wrong, and yet they're commonly believed. One, the terms Hebrews, Israelites, and Jews can be used simultaneously. That's a wrong statement. Synonymously, thank you. Synonymously. 11 common fallacies. One, the terms Hebrews, Israelites, and Jews can be used synonymously. Two, the term Israel only refers to the church today. Three, God is through with the nation of Israel. These are all wrong statements. Four, all prophecies regarding Israel's future are to be fulfilled only in the church. Five, none of the prophecies concerning Israel are to be fulfilled in the church, but only by the Jew. Six, the Jew is God's chosen people. Seven, Israel in the Bible only refers to descendants of Israel. Eight, the nation of Israel today are godly and pious people who are without Christ, but a great many are open to the gospel. Nine, God's presence is with the Jew in Palestine. 10, the Jews in Palestine are living under the Old Testament law like they did in Bible days. 11, there were only 12 tribes of Israel. Now, all of these are wrong statements, and I will be explaining these and some others as I go along. First, I want to explain the terms Hebrew, Israelite, and Jew. There are, first of all, a Hebrew is one who is of the seed of Abraham, who was the first Hebrew. There are many Scandinavians, Europeans, Britons, and Americans around the earth that are Hebrews and don't know it. And this is not commonly recognized by the church. Only the Jews are generally regarded as Hebrews. Now, there's two things I want to explain about this. One, everyone that came from Israel is an Israelite. And the children of Israel became a nation under Saul, under Samuel, under Saul, under David, under Solomon, under Rehoboam. But under Rehoboam, they divided. 10 nations went to the north, 3 nations to the south, 3 tribes to the south. The 10 northern tribes were called Israel. They were taken captive by Assyria in 721 BC. They went in to Assyria and never came back to the homeland again. They left Assyria. They began to revolt at times. They were able to leave at various times in history. They left Assyria. They scattered themselves over the face of Europe. And from thence to the islands of the sea, nations, Africa, the Caribbean, North and South America, all over the globe. Now, those 10 tribes are not Jews. And those 10 tribes are Israelites, and they're Hebrews. And they're just as much Hebrews as if they stayed in their own land. Genetically, you don't change when you change a continent. And just because they intermarried so much, they don't know who they are, doesn't mean that they're not still Hebrews. Now, the thing you have to understand that is, people say, but haven't they lost? I mean, aren't we like, you know, aren't we like maybe 9/10 something else? No. Now, let me explain that. There was a father, a Hebrew. He marries a Hebrew woman. They have 4 children. All 4 of those children are the male seed of Israel, of the Hebrew. And they're all Israelites, all 4 of them, right? Now, we'll say 2 of these children are male and 2 of them are female. One female marries another male Israelite, and their child, because of the male, because of the father, is also an Israelite. And that will happen all down through the history of every female child who marries a male who's an Israelite. Their child will always be an Israelite. The other daughter marries a Gentile, a non-Israelite. Their children are Gentiles from then on. Now, go back to the 2 male sons. One male son marries an Israelitish girl. All of their children are Israelites. And that will happen all down to their history as long as that keeps happening. Now, the other child, the other son, is an Israelite, but he marries a Gentile woman. They have 4 children. All 4 children are Israelites because of the father, right? Now, those 4 children are the same as the other, first 4. And so you lose one of them out into the Gentile, but the other 3 are still Israelites. And that keeps happening. Every time they have a son, that son is always an Israelite. It doesn't make any difference how, if he marries a Gentile or not. Those children are Israelites. And as long as that seed must travel, because he'll have a son, and they'll have a son. And down through that son lineage, all the way down to the end, there will still be an Israelite. It will never change. You'll never lose it. And genetically, they may end up, you know, tall Nordic blondes because of Gentile influence through the genetic system of the wife, but that has got nothing to do with it. According to the male seed, they're still an Israelite. And a lot of you are Israelites after the flesh, besides being of the spirit. And some of you from Ham, some from Shem, and some from Japheth. You don't lose that. All of you are from Adam. You don't lose that, no matter how you're married. All from Noah. And if your seed came from Abraham, you don't lose that. You stay with that forever. Now, the same is true of Israelite. And now, an Israelite is one who came from Israel, from Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And everyone down to the male seed of Israel is an Israelite. Now, a Jew is one of the tribe of Judah, that is the nation of Judah, that is of the tribes of Benjamin, Levi, and Judah, that is the southern kingdom, and the 3 tribes that did not revolt, that stayed with Rehoboam, and did not go with the as part of the 10 tribes under Jeroboam to the north. That's Judah. They're Judeans. Judah was taken captive into Babylon. The Chaldeic name for them was Jew. And that's how they got the name Jew. A Jew is everyone after the exile in the Babylon of the southern tribes, plus whatever smatterings of the northern tribes may be there, from that time on, they are Jews. And primarily, of course, and they scattered all around to Egypt. There were great numbers in Egypt and also the Mediterranean area, as well as Palestine. And the Jews have continued to be intermixed among themselves, and so we pretty much know the Jew, but the Jew is not all of Israel. He's only a small portion of it. Now, first of all, remember there's Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac, who was also a Hebrew. And he had a son named Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons. Joseph received a portion of the firstborn. Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim and Manasseh, because Joseph had the double portion, his two sons each became a full tribe in Palestine, in Canaan, under Joshua. And when that happened, there was no longer 12 tribes, but 13 tribes. Because the house of Joseph in the scripture means the full tribe of Ephraim and the full tribe of Manasseh. It means a double tribe. And but there was only 12 land inheritances and tribes proportioned in the land in Israel. Levi was left out because the priests came from Levi. Levi lived in the 48 Levitical cities scattered throughout Palestine. There were 13 tribes, 12 with land inheritances. Each half tribe became a full tribe. They went through the days of the judges. They went through Samuel and Saul and David and Solomon and Rehoboam, and they divided under Rehoboam. And the northern nation went to the northern nation did not serve God, and eventually went into captivity in Assyria and scattered throughout the face of the earth. The southern tribes stayed there for a portion longer, time longer. They went into Babylon for 70 years. Came back. Some of them came back to Palestine. Most of them remained in Babylonia, and they were just as much Jews as those who came back. And those who came back were scattered throughout the face of the earth in Asia Minor and North Africa. And 70 A.D., after the time of Christ, they were driven from their homeland with the law that they were not even allowed to see the land. They could see the land. They were too close. And they've been scattered over the face of the earth. In 1948, they've been brought back, and they started a nation called Israel. Well, it's the remnant that's left of Israel that is known, that is collective, national sense. The rest of Israel is all over the face of the globe. And that's a portion of Israel. And we call them Jews, but they call the nation Israel, although not all Israel shall be there, is there. There's coming a day when God shall gather all Israel back, including those on all over the face of the earth, and he names them by tribe, and he names the 10 tribes that were scattered, and they shall come back in the millennium, and they shall be joined together with the tribes of Judah, and shall all be there. You see, well, they don't know who they are. Doesn't make any difference. God knows who they are. And they will get back because God said so. He said, I'll hiss after them like a fire and drive them back to their own land. Now, that's number one. Number two, Christ made a difference between the seed of Abraham and a child of Abraham. In order to save time, because I've got so much area to travel, I have had typed up my scriptures, so I don't want you to take time to turn to them, because I want to give you more than you'll be able to get if I take time to turn. Listen to this. In John 8:37, Jesus said, I know that you are Abraham's seed. I know that. But you seek to kill me because my words have no place in you. Two verses later, in verse 39, he said this. They answered him and said unto him, Abraham is our father. He just admitted they were the seed of Abraham. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. He made a difference between Abraham's seed and Abraham's children. Abraham's seed speaks of the natural, of the seed out of the loins of Abraham. That a child of Abraham speaks of the spiritual. You are a child of him. That is, we are not a child of Abraham, except spiritually. You may be the seed, but a child speaks in a spiritual sense. Number three, the Bible makes a difference between Israel after the flesh and Israel after the spirit. There is a difference. And First Corinthians 10:18, it says, behold Israel after the flesh. So there must be Israel after the flesh because the Holy Ghost said Israel after the flesh, which presupposes also an Israel after the spirit, or you wouldn't qualify this, calling it Israel after the flesh. In Romans 9:6, we read, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. They're not all Israel, which are of Israel. Meaning that if you're of Israel, according to the seed, you are not really Israel, because Israel means prince with God, or prevailed with God. And so he says, as I count Israel, you from Israel are not really Israel, although you are the seed of Israel. See, he's talking of a natural sense when he says, they are not all Israel spiritually, which are of Israel naturally. That's what he means. In Galatians 6:15-16 we read, for in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. This is the only time that scripture is used in the Bible. The Israel of God. When you talk about the with an article, the Israel of God, you're talking about spiritual Israel. A true Israelite. A distinction from natural Israel. In John 1:47, we read, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. There's a difference in an Israelite and an Israelite indeed. Because you're talking about an Israelite, you're generally talking about after the flesh. But when you say an Israelite indeed, well, big deal. I mean, the whole nation's for Israel here. What are you talking about? I mean a real Israelite, because they're not all Israel which are of Israel. But this is one who is really Israel. He's an Israelite indeed. That is spiritual Israel. In Romans 2:28-29, we read, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. You say, well, I'm a Jew. Say, no, you're not a Jew. Yeah, I am a Jew. No, you're not a Jew. What do you mean I'm not a Jew? Jesus said so. I mean, Paul said so. The Holy Ghost said so through Paul. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Oh, you're a Jew after the flesh. You're the seed of Abraham. But you're not a child of Abraham. You are not a real Jew, not in the true sense of the meaning, not in the spiritual sense that I'm talking about, not in the sense that it's important to me, not after the name that I gave them and what it really means. See, not in my covenant. See, I don't even recognize you if you're of your father the devil from Abraham. I only recognize you if you're father from God from Abraham. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. See, I don't count that either. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. One who is keeping the covenant. Who's in the contract. The thing isn't wrapped up in the term Jew. It's wrapped up in the contract to that people. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. He said, I was only a type, a shadow. The substance is in Christ. And it doesn't count a thing once the type has passed and you're in the area of the antitype. Only that in the spirit is counting. Not in the letter. Not in the letter. But in the spirit. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. Revelation 2:9. I know thy works. He's talking to the Smyrna church, the second church, back in the second century, spiritually the second century church, under heavy persecution, second or third century, heavy persecution. He says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. The Jews carried wood for the emperors to burn Christians on. They were zealous to murder Christians. And he says, these Jews, which say they are Jews, are not Jews. But they are the synagogue of Satan. Because that's really where they derive their heart and impetus. Satan, through demon spirits, have been operating through their rabbis, through their teaching, and through their attitudes. And they are the synagogue of Satan, although they claim to be the synagogue of Yahweh. The same thing could be said of a lot of churches today. I don't mean Holy Ghost churches. I mean non-born-again churches. I mean liberal World Council of Churches give the Angela Davis and the Black Panthers and the Communist Party churches. Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. This is said of the church age in which we are living. I will make them to come and bow at your feet. When shall this happen? In a small measure, when the head of the beast goes down, when the latter rain has fallen, when the gospel has been brought to some of those who have been fighting and attacking Christians, they are going to fall down before your butt in the great sense in the millennium. Because those who live in the millennium are going to come when they see, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. But Jude 14 says that, behold, the seventh from Adam, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, I've never had any trouble with this before. Help me out, Russ. The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all the ungodly for all the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. He comes with his saints. And when they come with his saints, they're going to bow before those Philadelphia church age saints that he comes with, who've gone up in the rapture and come again with him at the second coming, and they're going to bow and acknowledge that the Lord has been with you. The Lord is with you. Ezekiel 2, I'm going to move on here now. The Bible I want to also state there is also a natural Israel today, and there's a national Israel today. Natural Israel means those of the seed of Israel. National Israel means those in the nation of Israel today. There's also a natural Jew and a Jewish nation today. A natural Jew is one of the tribe of Judah, that is of the kingdom of Judah in the south, one from that lineage. And a Jewish nation is the nation of Israel, which are mainly Jews. It's mainly a Jewish nation, although it's called Israel. Now, I was said to be wrong by a minister. He's not here in this assembly here today. He's not coming here. When I said that Judah was called Israel at times, after the captivity, and after Israel went away into Syria and was scattered, that the nation of Judah left was called Israel at times, both in the Old Testament and in the New. And this person who's very knowledgeable about the subject said I was wrong, and I am now going to prove that I'm right. I'm going to send him the tape. Now, they didn't have opportunity at the time. And that's true because they were of the remnant of Israel. They were what was left of Israel. Israel was gone off into captivity. They that remained was still called Israel at times. Now, these are the prophets that prophesied during the divided kingdom. That is, after Israel divided, were in the north, and Judah was in the south, during that time, Elijah, Elisha, Obadiah, Joel, Jonah, Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, and Micah prophesied. The prophets after the northern kingdom went into captivity, and no longer were in the land, and no longer had any priest or anything else, were Hosea, Isaiah, and Micah, the same three I just got through reading, because they overlapped. And then Nahum, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, Daniel, Ezekiel, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Now, the reason I said that was this. If the term Israel is used in any of these latter books, speaking of the existing tribes at Jerusalem and Judea, then they were called Israel after Israel was dispersed among the nations, when the northern nation was no longer in existence. The term Israel has been used 419 times after the northern nation was lost, plus the times Hosea, Isaiah, and Micah may have used it after Israel was taken away, plus many times in the New Testament. And much of the time it refers to Judah, that is the three tribes plus remnants of the other 10 tribes down in Judah and Jerusalem. Now for the proof of that. Judah, remember, is the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, plus remnants of all 10 tribes. Now, first of all, to help prove that point, in the book of Hezekiah, which was written 249 years after Israel was taken captive, in the book of 2 Chronicles, under King Hezekiah, there have been examinations. People say, turn to the book of Hezekiah as a joke, and people have been flipping pages. But you're sure for that this morning. I'm so locked into trying to figure out what I'm going to say next. Under King Hezekiah, who was king of Judah, 249 years after the division, or after Israel was taken captive, as we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, we're going to be reading verses 1, 5, and 6, 10 and 11, 18, 21, and 25. 2 Chronicles 30. Good thing my audience is alive out here today. You know, some congregation wouldn't be able to help you a bit. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 1. Now listen, I'm showing you that after Israel was lost into Assyria, after they had divided and were in the northern tribe, even 249 years, you know, about the time the United States had been in existence, you know, in a real rough way, yet some of them came back. And Hezekiah sent unto all Israel and Judah, making a distinction between the two. And he wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover under the Lord God of Israel. And he also sent to the rest of them, even though he didn't mention them all here, which we'll see. Verse 5. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba to Dan, that's the full length of the land, that they should come and keep the Passover under the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. So we see by this that the entire length of the land, they made a proclamation to come down to Jerusalem, even though they'd been divided 249 years. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, you children of Israel, turn again to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. Assyria was moving in and was taken captive, and those that escaped, he said, come on down and keep the feast of Passover. Verse 10. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even to Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Now that does not mean that all Ephraim and all Manasseh laughed them to scorn. It doesn't mean that nobody followed them. Even in the Zebulun, that means the entire length. Many of them did come down, but it meant in general they laughed them to scorn, which I'll prove to you. Nevertheless, divers, meaning different ones, of Asher, that wasn't even mentioned in the verse ahead, Asher and Manasseh, which he did mention, and they said they laughed at him. Nevertheless, different ones of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. And even they weren't all the people, but they were the main groups of sent ones. There were others even besides them. Let's look at verse 18. For a multitude of the people, a multitude, even many of Ephraim. Now, Ephraim is mentioned again, although it wasn't mentioned just in the previous verses, except up at the verse where it said they laughed at him. Many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar, which wasn't mentioned, and Zebulun, which was, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover, otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of the fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. Which goes to show you that you can't be too fast to grab a verse by itself and then make decisions that that is all, because the Bible doesn't say, the context doesn't say. He says things sometimes in a general sense, and it is explained other places more fully. Verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days and so forth. They were singing to the Lord and so forth. And then verse 25. And all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. Now, very clearly, he speaks to them coming down, those that escaped at the hand of Assyria, keeping the feast of Passover. Many of them stayed there, meaning that when you talk about the tribe of Judah, that is the nation of Judah, I should say, you're not talking just about Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. You're talking about Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and scatterings from Zebulun and Manasseh and Ephraim and Asher and the other tribes. All the tribes, but more from some than from others. That's another reason he says Israel, called Judah Israel, because they were. They were all Israel. They were all that remained, although there weren't so many of the northern tribe, yet they were there. Also under Josiah, 352 years after the division, 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verses 17 and 18, we read, and the children of Israel that were present, they were those who came out of the north, they came down, kept the Passover at that time. The same thing happened again. And the feast of unleavened bread, 7 days. And there was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this was 102 years after Hezekiah had him come down. Now, also during the invasions of Israel, there were those who fled the northern nation, panicked, and fled to the south and joined the southern tribes. We still see Israel and Judah. In fact, we'll see that in the millennium, in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 16 let you know that Israel came down in and accompanied with the Jew and is still there today in Israel today with the Jew. And when the Battle of Armageddon takes place, Israel will be down there with the Jew, and God will also hiss after them and bring them down in greater numbers after the battle is over, and he'll save the tents of Judah first, Scripture says. But there's a remnant of Israel down there right now. It always has been, as long as they were in their own land. And they were always scattered among them all the Jews of the diaspora. So in Ezekiel 37, verse 16, we read, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Now, that's not talking about Israel of the north. They're scattered. They're separate from Judah. That's the whole point he's making, is they're now scattered. That's why it's two sticks. One stick for those who are at the south in Judah. Judah and Israel, his companions. Now, Judah's a part of Israel. He means those that were not a part, but came down and stayed there, which became companions. Then he says, then take another stick, representing a different company, the stick of Ephraim. Ephraim is the name of the northern tribe, the most predominant tribe that, spiritually speaking, that also it was used to even represent the whole nation. And just as Judah represented Judah, Benjamin, and Levi to the south, Ephraim represented Ephraim and the other tribes to the north. He says, the stick of Ephraim and for all the house of Israel, his companions. So he's letting you know there's Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, and his companions Israel. And then there's Judah and Israel, his companions. Two different sticks. They divided, remember? And now he's going to put the two together. They should be one stick in your hand. You put them both in the hand and make it one in your hand because God's going to bring them together. Israel's already over there. Judah's already over there with remnant of Israel, his companions. But the rest of Ephraim and his companions are scattered over the face of the earth, and he's going to bring them down also and put the two sticks together again and be one like he wanted David and Solomon and Samuel and Saul. Now, I would like to read some Old Testament examples of the term Israel being applied to the southern tribe, the southern nation, pardon me, of Judah, after Israel separated. First of all, I want to read 2 Chronicles 35. I've got to look this one up. 2 Chronicles 35, 3. And said unto the Levites, the Lord speaking, this is the time of Josiah, and being the time of Josiah, remember, it's hundreds of years after Israel divided. And he said unto the Levites, you get with Josiah in verse 1, moreover Josiah kept the Passover. And he said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, all Israel, so he's including them all, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulder. Serve now the Lord your God and his people, Israel. Calling them all Israel. He wasn't talking about us excluded, just them. He included himself as Israel. Now in verse 17, talking about all Israel which were holy, that is all that came down and sanctified themselves, which excluded Israel to the north. It was only talking about Israel then that was in Jerusalem, that came down, and those that were there. All Israel that were holy, that is talking about holy for the Passover. So he's not talking about those in the north, only those in Judea, and those in Judea he called Israel. Verse 17, and the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time, and the feast of unleavened bread 7 days. So he called the children of Israel, keeping it down in Jerusalem. And verse 18, and there was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel and so forth. Kept in Israel. But where was it? In Jerusalem. And he called Jerusalem Israel. Now, God sent Ezekiel to Judah in Babylonia. See, Judah was taken captive into Babylonia. God sent Ezekiel into Babylon. Jeremiah stayed in Palestine. After the Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar came down and took the Jews captive, Jeremiah stayed in Jerusalem and warned those that were left. Ezekiel went to Babylonia and warned the Jews that were there. And what did he say to them? Ezekiel 2, 3, and 5. And he said, don't turn to him. And he said unto me, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. But he never went to the north. He went to Jerusalem, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. That's where they went into captivity. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even to this very day. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. So he's talking about exactly where he walked, right there in Babylon. Not Jerusalem, but Babylon. I didn't mean to say Jerusalem. In Babylon. Ezekiel 3, 4, and 5. And he said unto me, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them, for thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. I'm not sending you to the Babylonians, I'm sending you to Israel, who are in Babylon. That's the tribe of Judah that was taken captive there. Ezekiel 4, 1 through 3. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem was going to be attacked and destroyed, but they didn't believe that. even though many were taken into captivity, and lay siege against it, and cast a mount against it, set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. In other words, make a clay model, clay soldiers and battering rams, make a whole big city of Jerusalem on a tile downhill, and do all this in pantomime because they won't listen to your preaching. So you just sit there in pantomime, let them walk by every day and see you playing with soldiers and making a battle and cacking against it. They say, what are you doing? They knew he was a man of God. They did not want to hear what he had to say. But the curiosity is getting aroused more and more as they see him making this tile and doing all this. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city. And set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. In other words, you put that, and you may begin to make a little siege against it with a soldier, and rocks flying, you know, and everybody sees him playing soldier down there. And he kept doing these pantomimes at the will of the Lord to begin to bring conviction on this. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. When I'm going to talk to you, put up a wall of defense. I'm going to quit talking. I'm just going to be down here doing prophecy, and they're all over there looking to see what's going to happen. Because they know it's true. And that way, God, that showed the length that God went to get them, to try to save them. When they were stopped their ears, they didn't want to hear what he had to say. He made it such that they would go to him and watch because they knew it was true anyway. As long as they weren't getting confronted with it, they could look and watch. And their minds were being filled with what was going to happen. Now he says, this shall be a sign to the house of Israel. But a sign that Jerusalem would fall. Think about the Judeans down in Jerusalem and those who were in Babylon at this time who were watching it. And Ezekiel 5 and verses 4 and 5. And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, cause it to pass upon thy head, shave your head off, and upon your beard, shave that off. Then take thee balances, weigh the hair in it, then take them again and cast them into the midst of the fire, and burn them in the fire, for thereof shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. He's not talking about Samaria, the capital of the north. He's talking about Jerusalem to the south, and he's calling it Israel. For I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Ye have multiplied your slain in this city, and you have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Ezekiel 12, 9 and 10. Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, what doest thou? Say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them. For the princes, the elders, right there in Jerusalem. We see it in Daniel 1:3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed into the princes. But Daniel went into captivity into Babylon. He was of Judah, and he was calling it children of Israel. It was said of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 1, the burden of the Lord to the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, long after Israel was gone. And Malachi 2:16, for the Lord God, the God of Israel, has said, and so forth and so on. We find it also in the New Testament. In the book of Romans, chapter 9, verses 3, 4, and 31. Paul said, for I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren. And he's talking about not the brethren that are saved. No reason that I should be accursed that my brethren who are saved should be saved. He's talking about my brethren that are lost. He's talking about his brethren who are the seed of Abraham. My kinsmen according to the flesh, which proves that. Who are Israelites? Now, very clearly, he is calling those according to his flesh Israelites, even in new covenant days. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law? Now, the giving of the law wasn't to those in new covenant days. You're talking about the Old Testament law. And the services of God. You're talking about the tabernacle. And the promises. But Israel, which followeth after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. He's not talking about those who have attained, who are spiritual Israel. He's talking about natural Israel that has not attained. And he's calling them Israel. We find also in 2 Corinthians 11:22, are they Hebrews? He means after the flesh. So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Luke 7:9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said to the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. Now, the nation had been scattered over the face of the earth, not the whole face of the earth, but up to Asia. They had been lost for a long time. It had been 721 years since their captivity. It had been longer than that, 750-some years or whatever. And yet, in the area in Palestine where the Jews were, where Jesus was walking, he still said, I have not found so great faith in all Israel. And Jesus only walked there. He called them Israel because they were Israel. They were what was left of it. And they had some there from all the 12 tribes. John 3:10, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He wasn't a master of those who were up there in Magog and places like this who had been scattered out of Assyria. He was a master of those who were right there in Palestine, and he called them a master of Israel because they were called Israel. And he's talking about after the flesh. They weren't born again. They weren't even a believer. That's why he came to Christ. Asked him how he could inherit eternal life. That'd be the same one. Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs and so forth and so forth. He addressed them as men of Israel, not just men of Judea. Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Acts 5:21. But the high priest came and all that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel. That was those right there in Palestine, showing that he's calling them Israel. Acts 21:28, crying out, Men of Israel, help! Calling out to the men right there of Judea. So we see that there is much proof that Judah was called Israel after Israel defected because they were what was left of Israel. Now, that point hasn't been proven. I want to go on to say that God is not through with the nation of Israel. And I want to read in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 1, 2, 7, 11, 12, 15, 23 to 29. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Now what I'm proving now is God is not through with the Jew. There are many Christians that say God's through with the Jew. Therefore, all Old Testament prophecies concerning the nation of Israel, they say, that's not for them. He's through with them. That's us. That's the church. And they say, all of it is us, the church. He says, he's through with the Jew. I'm going to prove to you he's not through with the Jew. That's a wrong statement. That makes him misinterpret scriptures in the end time. It makes him misinterpret millennial scriptures. And they find themselves in very difficult places because they get all the names of the places, the names of the tribes, the names of the city, all the detail, and yet it's not talking about them at all, supposedly, but us. And how does it fit? It doesn't. Not that portion. Not that way. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now that's talking about after the flesh. God hath not cast away his people, which ye foreknew. Wot ye not, meaning know ye not, what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, and so forth. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. See, Israel didn't obtain. But the election hath obtained it, which means that Israel was not the election. They were one time, but he wrote them a bill of divorcement and put them off. Israel has been cast off. They were not, he cut their tree down. They were cut out. They are not the elected people. The Jew is not God's chosen people. The Israel of God is God's chosen people. Whether they be Jew or Gentile, all that are in Christ Jesus is the Israel of God. For he is a Jew which is one inwardly, not one outwardly. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Jew were blinded. Verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, two different Greek words there, meaning not an utter fall, but the stumble fall. Through the fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles or the nations, showing there's a difference between national Israel and national the nations that are not Israel, not speaking spiritually at all. Through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, that is, we have been able to come in because they fell, God reached out to the Gentiles. I say we, meaning we may be of Israel and the Gentiles. And the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? They're going to have a fullness. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what should the receiving of them be but life from the dead? He's going to bring them back. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou would cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and would graft it contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? What he's saying is this. God made a planting of olive trees, natural olive trees. These are Israel after the flesh. And they became Israel after the Spirit. They became spiritual Israel in the days when they followed him. But they forsook God. And God went down to his orchard and he cut all the olive branches off because there was no olives on them. And then he went up to the hill countries where wild olive trees were growing, which are the Gentile nations. And he cut branches off of them and brought them down to his marked out walled garden. And he grafted, contrary to nature, but by his supernatural power, he grafted them in. And they bore olives from the natural tree that came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And from the tree that God planted, which root was Christ, and out of Christ, out of the ground, out of Christ, grew this tree. And under them, as I should say, he grafted the wild olive tree. Now he says, be not high-minded, but feel, for if I cut them off, I can cut you off. And if I grafted you in contrary to nature, I can graft them back into their own tree again, which is going to happen in the millennium. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Oh, they're gone. God's through with them. It's just us now. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the nations be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. That is all Israel that remains, that is alive at that time in the millennium. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, Christ, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now he's calling Israel Jacob, his old name, because that's what he is. He's a deceiver. He says he's a Jew and he's not, but he lies. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. He made a covenant. Go back with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's going to be fulfilled. As according to the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. See, they've been fighting us. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gift and calling of God are without repentance. We see also in Ezekiel 39, verses 22, 23, 25, 28, and 29, which speaks of the battle of Armageddon and the second coming to stop it and ushering in the millennial kingdom. So the house of Israel shall know, this is right after the battle of Armageddon now, and Christ comes. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. Which means before that, they were not his people. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them. His face is hid from them. And the scripture says they have a veil over their face even to this day. And gave them into the hands of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now I will bring again the captivity of Jacob, the deceiver, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them into their own land and have left none of them any more there. They all shall come down. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. He will pour out his spirit upon them. As prophesied by the prophet Joel, that is not just for the church, it is also for Israel. There is a dispensation for the church, an additional dispensation for Israel, which I'll explain later. Because it becomes, in God's mind, it's one promise. These double prophecies are really one prophecy in God's mind. One prophecy, one people, one promise, one event, separated by a period of time, because some who cast off wouldn't do it. He brought others in, fulfilled it here, and when they would later, he fulfilled it there, and it's just one promise being fulfilled to one people, meaning true Israel. And so, when they become true Israel again, sure. We have the Israel of God now? Yes. Is it to Israel? Yes. The Israel of God? Yes. Is that the church? Yes. And is it to the Jew? No. Because they're not Israel, I know, but they shall be again. And when they shall be true Israel again, also they shall receive, and that's the one promise to his one people, Israel, because he only has one people, Israel. All of Israel are not Israel. How many are understanding? Okay. Ezekiel, I'll be through here in a few moments, we'll make a break. Ezekiel 37, verses 16, 17, 21, 22, and 23. Now listen. Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick. I think I'll read this anyway. And write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions, and take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them to one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them to their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. But there shall be no more two nations, neither shall be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they be defiled themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places, when they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, so they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now that proves that he's bringing the 10 lost tribes back again, and he's uniting together into one tribe, and he's not through with Israel that are scattered, and he's not through with the remnant of Israel and Judah that is down there now. Ezekiel 48, 23 and 29. This is in the millennium. It means apportioning land. As for the rest of the tribes from the east side into the west side, Simeon shall have a portion, and by the border of Simeon from the east side and the west side, Issachar a portion, and by the border of Issachar from the east side to the west side, Zebulun a portion. And he goes through all 12 tribes of the Israel, telling each one what portion they're going to have in the millennium, which proves that the 12 tribes are back again. And then in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 14 through 17, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord. Now, he's not through with Israel, I'm showing, because he's going to call them the city of the Lord, those that afflicted them in days gone by, the nations. The Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, meaning that showing that there's a separation between them and the nations that are not of Israel. And you shall gain from them, and suck the breasts of kings, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace and thy exactors righteousness. He is saying, I'm going to take Israel, I'm going to make them great in the land, and they shall receive blessing from all the Gentile nations. All those that hated them shall now bless them. Because the nations have hated them when they were my people and brought hurt upon them in the millennium, I will cause them to come and bring gold and all types of things and make you rich, and I will bless them. Because I have cast you off, I will now bring mercy upon you. That's the way God is. And one more scripture, Zechariah 8:22-23. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Even during the millennium, they're going to be blessed to such an extent that 10 men will grab a hold of his clothes and say, here, let us go with you. We know that God's with you. For they shall be predominant at that time. Not predominant above those that come with him from heaven, but of those that remain on the earth. I'm talking about the one-third of the Jew that he brings to the fire. Two-thirds shall be destroyed at Armageddon. He knows those that are his. And the 144,000 and so forth that are his. Now, I will continue this message. And I've taken the... I'll continue this message in the morning preaching session. We'll take a break right now, and then we're going to have a time of worship, about 10 minutes. And then I'm going to be bringing you some other aspects of Israel and helping to clear up the picture. How many feel like you really do understand what I brought so far? How many are pretty much confused? There are a few. Well, listen to tape 3 or 4 times slowly and give you time to think and look it over and read the scriptures, and it might begin clearing up for you.